Hello and welcome back to the DC UK podcast. This is season 6 and it's episode 2. And this is the only show that brings you the latest news and views from the capital of the American soccer from this side of the pond. And as always, I'm your host, James Graham. Well, we've got an action-packed show, so what have we got coming up? We have got some news, obviously, the club news. There's been a lot going on recently. We've got our first match preview of the 2024 season. Yes, it has already begun the season, but that was Inter Miami and RSL last night. So if you haven't seen, do catch the result. It was a 2-0 win to Inter Miami. Messi getting involved, and Suarez was playing, making his debut, wearing that debut badge. That's a weird thing that we need to talk about later on. And at the end of the show, I will be answering your questions. But first up, a little word from the show sponsor.
We are wild.com. If you're like me and want to do whatever it is you can to help the environment, there is one thing, and it will help you smell great too. Wild is the right choice for natural deodorants, as it actually works. I've always struggled with deodorants, but this one has left me feeling fresh under the pits and smelling good. The case is a fully sustainable design made out of aluminium. It's a case for life, and the refills are both that biodegradable and recyclable. Also, when you go to order, you can customize it to your needs. Choose your perfect case and scent combinations. My favorite scent being fresh cotton and sea salt. It's also eco-friendly and with all natural ingredients, as well as being vegan and cruelty-free. So what are you waiting for? Go wild today with a special discount of 40% off your first order for my UK listeners when you use the code DC United Kingdom at checkout. And for my global listeners, save 25%. Go to wearewild.com and use DC United Kingdom at checkout. Enjoy. Now, back to the show.
Yes, this is the news section of the podcast. So what have we got in terms of news? That like I said, there's been a few things have been happening, some good stuff, some not so good stuff, and some just general news. So obviously we've come to the time where the off season has now been completed and we are back with a brand new season of MLS. It's the 29th season of the league. It's fantastic. I'm loving it. It's great to be back. It's been too long for us. Obviously we exited the season far too early last year, and it was the longest period without a match for as long as I can remember. We obviously had a bye week at the end of the season. We were the only team that weren't playing on decision day. It was just a bit madness. But before we go even further into the news, just a reminder, if you do have any questions or anything and you are watching this live, please do hit them up in the chat. I will get round to answering them at the end of the show, or when it's applicable, really. So, and if you listen to this after the fact, get your questions in, hit me up on social media, or please do leave a voice message. You should be able to see links if you click on the bio link thing in the description. Go through there. Right, so some news. So DC related and fan related support groups, they've had some things to say, shall we say, and they have announced that they're going to be going silent for the first 4 matches of the season. That is to coincide with the 4 games that we played in Saudi Arabia. They got together and they were talking about going silent, and they did a joint statement. So I'm just going to read it, and I'm going to give you my thoughts on it as well. So DC United support groups will not be providing organised support for the first 4 matches in protest of the club's pre-season partnership with the Saudi government. This includes no drums, flags or banners. The club's stated values of being relentless, deliberate and decisive must also include a deliberate respect for human rights. We thank you for your cooperation and invite you to join us in the protest. Now, there's been some things that obviously have been going on. This was a joint statement that was done with 202 Unique, Buzzard Point Social, District Ultras, La Banda and Rose Room Collective. Now, you might think, oh, where's Screaming Eagles? they did their own separate statements, and they've given that, which goes along the same sort of lines as well. So they're all in together. And to have all the support groups getting together and getting behind this whole thing is really good to see. And I'm with it as well. I'm behind it. There's far too much political going on with Saudi and sports washing and the human rights abuses. It just, I don't think it sits well with anyone anywhere across the world. And if it did, and it, you sat and you were happy with it, that's not good. The human rights, it's abysmal over there, from what you read. I'm glad that there's something happening, and I'm really pleased to see that all the support groups have got together and formed this collective protest, because it's all well and good having one or two support groups doing it, but if not everyone's getting behind it, then we are missing something. I'm totally missing the point, really, of doing a protest. It needs everyone involved. But something was asked, Ted from RFK Refugees podcast, he asked Troy Lassane in the press conference today about what his thoughts were. So let's just have a listen to that.
Yeah, thank you for that. What I'd like to say on that topic is, one, I have a lot of respect and admiration for our supporters. So with that, obviously, you know, last week, Ali and I had about a two-hour meeting with some of our leaders of our supporters groups, and what we're trying to build right now is trust with them. I think we're trying to earn that trust as a new leadership group in the club, trying to take the club in a new direction, and that's going to take time. And you know, that relationship is a reciprocal one. We have we're going to try to provide for them. They're going to try to provide for us, and we're going to work together. And ultimately, the decision that they made, we have respect for that, and we want to make.
Yeah. So, you know, I know, sorry about that cutting off so abruptly there, but I think I'm glad what Troy was saying, and he's totally right. He did mention before in previous press conferences as well that the decision to go to Saudi Arabia and do the preseason tour over there was not down to him. It wasn't down to Ali Mackay as well. This decision was made prior to that. And I know the ownership, so this statement came out earlier this week, I think it was, and the ownership have seen it, and they actually sat down with the leaders of the supporter groups as well. And there was a lot of discussion about this, and I know over on the DCU Discord group, I just could not keep up. So this discussion would happen last night. So it was when I was sleeping, obviously. And yeah, there was hundreds of messages going through. But to kind of give you sort of like a too long, didn't read kind of version of it, let's put it this way, the meeting didn't quite hit what the purpose of the meeting was. And as fans, we didn't get what we were looking out of it, which was hold our hands up, say, yep, that was the wrong thing, we shouldn't have done that, we should have discussed that with you prior to get your thoughts on it. But it hasn't alleviated the protest. That's still going to happen. The Jason Levien was trying to explain different things. There was a mention about speaking to the Saudi ambassador to promote it, and it's just kind of like there just seems to be a bit of a disconnect between the ownership and the fans over here. It's kind of like where is that connection? And it's quite worrying to see that there is that bit of a disconnect between the top brass in the ownership group and the fans. We need to have that to be able to get the ownership to really get behind the club and actually take the club to the level where it needs to be, which is back at the top of the league, being talked about as one of the top clubs in Major League Soccer. And right now, you look at MLS predictions, or the armchair analysts and things like that. And we're being sat down in like 15th and not making the playoffs yet again. I just really don't get how that's gonna work. So, you know, we need to have that. And this is a season where there's going to be a lot of change for us. And we've seen in the offseason where we've got loads of new players in. We've got players who've left. And we've got new front office in terms of head coach, assistant coaches, general manager, even people further behind than that. That's, it's all change. It's just crazy how much it has changed over these last few months. So it's going to take a little bit of time to get used to, and we need to temper our expectations for this season. I think it's going to be, it feels like we've been saying this for a long time, is a transitional season, because we had Ben Olsen left, then we had Hernan come in, so we're like, it's going to take a little bit of time for him to settle in and we'll need to see the change. But then obviously he didn't last that long. Then Chad Ashton came back in as an interim. Then Rooney came in. So we had that 6 months of the first season, however long it was. And then we had a full season last year with Wayne, and that just didn't really go all too well. And yeah, now we're back in that same place again. So it feels like the last few years have been transitional. Stu, welcome to the show. Thank you for rejoining. Another transitional season, emphasis on another. Yeah, and as I just said, it's just, yeah. If I'm hoping this is the last transitional year and we start kicking on, because we deserve it as fans. We go through all sorts to support this team. Obviously, you've got your fans over in America, over stateside, over in DC, who go to the games week in, week out. You've got us overseas who are watching from afar and having to go that through that pain in the early hours of the morning. Granted, we've got a few games which aren't in the early hours, which is great. I'm looking forward to that. But yes, we've got a few of that. Most of the time, it's in the early hours. We're sitting through. We're doing podcasts, we're doing live streams, we're doing content, we're doing just getting together and being fans. We need something good. Don't you agree? So, but, you know, let's just say we want something different coming out of this. Be good to see some focus on youth and the future. Fewer of the retirement home transfer links would be nice. Yeah, but to be fair, we look at the changes that have happened this off-season. We've had a decrease in average age, let's put it that way. And it's nice for us to be able to be on that side of it for once, not being linked with the ages of Benteke and Click. And I'm not saying they're bad players, they're very, very good players. And we had a decent season out of Benteke, a bit hot and cold, but overall wasn't that bad. Click was just standards, just was never going to be the kind of player that you're going to get magic every game, but you know, just did the job kind of player. And now we've got a young DP and Paltola, and yeah, I'm just liking what we've got, and I'm excited to see what we're going to get out of DC United in 2024. I'm actually looking forward. Feels like there's a lot to be looking forward to for this year. So, yeah, very, very happy about it. So, moving on. Club news, roster news, and Steve Birnbaum, if you haven't seen, he is out injured for the start of the season after picking up a knee injury, which meant he's missed out some preseason as well. And, yeah, he's going to be out probably a couple of games. So, that also leads me on to some captain news as well. So today we announced who the club captain was going to be. So let's just hear from Troy again and find out who the club captain is going to be for 2024.
Steve Birnbaum is going to continue as the club's captain. Underneath him, there's three vice captains. In the event that Steve can't play, then the next captain that's in line is Christian Benteke, followed by Russell Knauss, and then lastly, Pedro Santos.
Brumbaum's experience, not only in the league, but with this group, I imagine played a big factor.
Yeah, my interaction with Steve has been a little bit limited in preseason because he sustained a bit of a setback with an injury, so we haven't had the daily interaction on the field, but every interaction I have had with Steve, what this club means to him, what he's put into the club over the last, you know, 10, 11 seasons, and where he wants this club to go still as the captain of the team in a really positive direction for 2024 is exactly the type of mentality that I want as a leader in our club.
So, yes, so as you heard there, Steve Birnbaum is continuing as club captain. I know a lot of people were hoping that there might be some change in this area, mainly because Steve Birnbaum is becoming a player who's going to be at the sunset side of his career now. He is getting on a bit. He is, how old is he? We probably should know that off the top of our head, but I want to say 31, 32, 33. He's definitely in his 30s. He's 33 now, yeah. So he's definitely on the older side, shall we say, and we were hoping that it was going to be someone young, someone new, coming in as captain. I know in preseason, Ted Kujipietro was mentioned as an outside chance of being captain, and I think that would have been great. And I think it would have been really nice to see him as named as a vice captain, but that isn't the case. Christian Benteke, Russell Knauss, and Pedro Santos is a name that we've not really heard about as a potential vice captain. I know it surprised me quite a bit. I'm going to get it with Benteke. He stepped in a couple of times last season as club captain. Russell Knauss is, again, no real surprise for me. It seems he's like one of those leaders. So it's nice to see him in there. He's sitting at 28 years old. But yeah, Pedro Santos, massive surprise. I wasn't expecting to see him named as a vice captain. So yeah, so that is the club captain side of things. But also, I just want to kind of give you guys a quick sort of my review on MLS kits in this offseason. So every team's been given new kits. There have been some good ones, some bad ones. And I just want to call out the worst kit for me. And that is Inter Miami. The kit itself is just plain pink with the badge in the middle, the sponsor, and the Adidas logo with black stripes down the sides. It's kind of like, did you really put any thought into it? Did you think, yeah, you know what's good? Plain. You know what's even better? Plain pink. And that's what I think the Adidas designers went to Miami went, you know what you need? You need pink. Just pink. Nothing else. Maybe a little bit of black just to give it the outline. But no. To me, every other kit this season that's new for 2024 has got something about it. And it doesn't mean it's good. But at least it's got something. A bit of flair. So, you know. I'm going to give you my top five. And I want to know if you agree with my choices, what kit has stood out for you, what's your favourite kit? Someone got paid to create that kit, I'm in the wrong job. Aren't we all? So, coming in at number five, Charlotte FC. Now this kit, I like it. I think it's blue is one of my favorite colors, if not my favorite color. And I like the way this design. It's not just straight lines, straight stripes. It's a little bit higgledy-piggledy. I just like how the gradient is set on the kit. I like the way it's designed. The sponsor isn't offensive. On the eyes. Not as a sponsor, not offensive as that in that side of things, but I like it. I think it's a really good kit. I'd be happy with that if that was a DC United away kit. Coming in at number four, FC Dallas. Now this is a lovely, lovely kit. And if I'm saying that about number four, think about what number three, number two, and number one are going to be like. So this is called the Afterburner kit. Now, that's a great name. And that's a sort of a callback to when they were previously called Dallas Burn. But again, the gradient on it gone from blue to red. It just, again, for me, that's something that they've given it a bit of thought. And they go, well, let's have a look at the badge. There's the two colours. Let's go with that. And just gone, yeah. So not quite flary, not quite outlandish, but subtle, nice gradient. I like it. It's bold as well. It stands out. Coming in at number three, it's the New England Revolution. Now, you're probably thinking, oh, okay, this is a bit of a not so flary kit again. But again, this is subtle. This is a nice little design. It's called the Boston Tea Party. Because Boston, New England, that's where they are. And I kind of like it. I think it's one of those kits where this one to me has a bit more of a European flavor. And I think that's why I like it. I like the sleeves on it. It feels a bit more Bayern Munich. So it's relatable, I think, is the phrase I'm going to use for this one. Dallas are giving Barca PSG vibes, or possibly Crystal Palace. I think it's more Crystal Palace of current, more modern Crystal Palace on that one. Coming in at number two, Portland Timbers. So I've always liked Portland Timbers kits. They've just got something about them. And this one is just, again, they've knocked it out of the park. I'd be happy with this jersey as well. I think it's a really cool top. Not so sure on the sponsor, and that's the same with New England Revolution as well. Not so sure on that one. Yeah, a bit weird on the sponsor, but you know, it kind of fits. It's the right color scheme. It works. Can't really say too much on that one. Then coming in at number one, it's going to be no surprise to you because it's a fan of the club. It's the DC United jersey, and this kit has been getting some good hype around from all the sites and publications that have been rating the MLS kits. DC United has been generally getting 8 9s out of 10s, and that's awesome. I love the design of it. I'm looking forward to getting mine eventually. It should be coming in. It's going to be going up on the wall there. Yeah, love it. That and the Cherry Blossom jersey for 2024 is going to be really, really cool for us to be wearing this year. And I'm happy to see it. And we've got some good players to be wearing them as well. So let's take those off screen. And that is kind of my end of my news for this week, because now we're going to be moving on to the first match preview. But before we do, let me just find it. We're going to go and play the outro for the news. There we go. We're back. So match preview time. DC United, New England Revolution, first game of the season. It's back. I am so excited. I'm so happy that we're back in the league. Late nights are back. Late nights are back. And for the first game of the season, it is on Apple TV. Free. You don't need MLS Season Pass for this one. So for those who don't have MLS Season Pass just yet, you're all okay. You're all okay. So this one, I was hoping to have a little bit more of a preview, but you know, not much has been released about two sides. It's the first game of the season. It's going to be a bit wild. Can't really predict too much about it because there's been some changes, but let's just give a little bit of a lowdown on this one. So we've got Saturday, February 24th, kicking off at 7:39 p.m. Eastern time, which means it's 39 minutes past midnight for us over here in the UK. Thank you very much. Head-to-head. This will be the 94th matchup between the two sides. So we've played 93 in total already, and it's very even. DC United 139, New England 138, and it's been 16 draws. So very, very even across the board. And, you know, like I said, it's a new season. Who knows what the heck is going to happen? It's been a lot of change for both sides. So obviously we've had Troy Lesane, new assistant coaches, new general manager, 10 new players coming in, 5 leaving. It's just been a bit mad, but it's also been a bit of change for New England as well. So they've got Caleb Porter as their new head coach. So we've got changes in abundance all around. They've also been bringing in some new players, not as much as what we have, but they have brought in some new players. So they're Thomas Chancellay from Racing Club, Nick Lima from Austin FC. That was at the end of 2023. Then this year, they've brought in Emma Boateng, former DC player, and can be really, really good. I think it's his second stint with New England as well, because I'm sure when we let him go, he went there. Jonathan Mensah and Henrik Ravas also joining in 2024 as well. Obviously, ourselves, we've brought in 10 new faces. One of them is a permanent sign from Milan, so 9 technically. 5 have left the club. It's going to be crazy. A few players are out, like Tyler Miller, Steve Birnbaum was previously mentioned. Tyler Miller's still recovering from his injury from last year. So that will mean Alex Bono will be in goal. And, you know, it's just going to be super crazy. I'm not sure how this is going to go. Give you a little bit of a roll down of New England Revolution. So their current designated players are Thomas Chancellay, as mentioned. He's a new guy. Carlos Hill, a former Aston Villa player, if you are not aware. I think Villa fans were quite fond of him when he was playing there as well. And another player from last year as well, his DP is Giacomo Frioni. They do have someone in the under-22 initiative in Dylan Barrero, but he is already on the season-ending injury list for this year, so he's completely out for the 2024. And they've got one generation Adidas player in Joshua Bulmer, who is a forward. Yeah, absolutely crazy. I don't know what the hell's going to happen this weekend. All I'm excited for is it's back. We've got games going on. I'm going to be doing a watch along as well, so keep your eyes peeled on the YouTube channel. If you're listening to this after the fact, make sure you go to YouTube and subscribe. We are at 200 subscribers now on YouTube. Hey. Well, hey, we should have a little round of applause for that one. Thank you to everyone who has subscribed. If you haven't, get hitting that subscribe button. It does help, you know. And also, if you're watching this, make sure you just hit that like button. Make sure those likes are going up and up and up, because, again, that helps with getting this podcast to a wider audience. So, let's have a look. Been writing notes as I do. Keys to the match. Well, my notes are jealous of team. It's an opening match with a lot of unknowns. So I think obviously we'd love a win. It's our first home match, and it'd be great to get that win under our belt to start the season off with. But just to see the performance, see the effort being going in, and if we can take a point, I don't think anyone would be too upset. If we take 3, I think we'll be very, very happy. New England are typically a decent team, but again, because they've got Caleb Porter, who's won MLS Cups as well, we need to expect them to be on it as well. So they've just had their Champions League game as well. And I'm just going to quickly double check on that result. They were playing... where are you? MLS, you normally have those fixtures. Ah, there we go. So they were on the road. So they're going to be full of travel. So they're going to probably be quite tired looking at it. Independiente, probably not the ones that we all know and love. It's a different Independiente, I think. Where Estadio Universidad Latina. Where is that one? That is in Panama. So they travel down to Panama and they will be on their way back. So in that game in midweek, they absolutely... So 19 shots to 10, 6 on target to 2. Yeah, I think we're probably going to be looking at a tough, tough match if they're already underway like that. They played a 5-4-1 in their game. According to MLS, Ravas in goal, Farrell, Cave, Jones, Lima and Romnev, Nacho Hill and Carlos Hill in midfield alongside Polster and Chancellor. And who's on what? Okay, so if you go on MLSsoccer.com and look at New England's lineup from last night, the striker is missing, which is weird to say the least. CONCACAF Champions League. Let's go on to livescores.com. Let's have a look who they got there. Vrioni. Now, why couldn't MLSsoccer.com get that right? But, you know, hey-ho. But yeah, according to them, they also had it down as a 5-4-1 as well. So, Heather, welcome. You like the new kit? Is that our new kit? And you do not get the Tea Party kit at all. I like the Tea Party kit. It was number 3 on my list. In the top 3? I think it's classy. It's Europeanish. I'm happy with it. New England's already underway with their season. They're looking like they could be good. 5 at the back is very defensive, but they could also translate into 3 at the back very easily with wing backs on there, which means that they could be getting numbers forward, to say the least. Now, with ours, difficult to say who's going to be in our lineup and how we're going to play, because Troy has mentioned the formation is only one part of the tactic and it's a fluid thing. It's not something that is consistent throughout the game. It will change throughout the game. So you'll see wingers moving into attacking positions. You'll see players in midfield coming in and defend. It's just one of those things. So, yeah, it's going to be a tricky one. We've got some players who I think are going to be really outstanding for us this year. I think I'm really hoping Bono's going to have a good season. He had, when he came in, I think it was great when he came in. Looked solid. I felt a bit more confident with him in goal versus Miller. But I think we've also got exciting players further up the field. The fact that we've been able to bring Pirani in on a permanent basis is fantastic. Martin Rodriguez is back from injury as well, so that's exciting. So I'm very eager to see what he can do. And you've got, obviously, the youth in there. Jackson Hopkins, Ted Cudipietro as well. But Jacob Morrell, who we brought in through the Super Draft, I think he's going to be a really good player for us. Christian Fletcher, after he had his loan spell with Swansea at the end of last year, who really did some great things in the Swansea under-21s. So yeah, we've got some exciting things for this year. It's just if we don't gel, it's going to be a tough start. And it's going to be difficult to bring it back from that. But if we can get going quite early, we could be dark horses for 2024. Really dark horses. So, you know, hey, we could be onto something. Mr. Optimistic is back. You're going to love it. I'm here for the optimism. If you're running out of optimism this year, just come and talk to me. I will bring it back for you. I will bring you optimism. You're never going to see that leave me. Unless things get really bad. But I don't think that'll happen. But now, it's time to answer some questions from you guys out there. You'll have seen on social media that I blasted it out there that we were doing the podcast this week. We've got live shows coming on. We've got a range of questions coming. First one from Buzzard Beat over on Instagram, asking, how did I become a part of the club press conferences? Because, you know, I'm just me. I do this solo and the podcast. We're starting to expand this year in the fact that we've got Richard, who writes articles. Do go and check out his stuff that he's been doing recently. He's been doing looking into our new signings and explaining who they are. He's done a season preview as well for us, and he's going to be doing match previews and match reviews for the website. So please do go and check that out and give some love to the website, and do go and send some love to Richard as well. You can find him on Twitter at RJ Rolson, so do go and follow him. We've got Daniel, who is looking after photography for us this season again. He joined towards the end of last year, got some great shots. You'll have seen them on socials, and you'll see them part of some of the videos as well and some of the clips that we do. And we're also bringing on a videographer as well. So Brian, who has done stuff for club, and he's done stuff for Loudoun United as well, he's coming on board to do some videography for us this season. So you'll spot some cool videos coming through. So we'll see how that goes, and I'm really excited by all this. It's great to see that we're expanding. If you want to come and join and do stuff with me as part of DC UK, and if you want to do articles, if you want to do stuff for the podcast, if you want to do anything, just let me know. Just hit me up on Twitter, Instagram, wherever. Just drop me a message, or you can go onto our website and there's a contact us page as well. So please do get in touch if you want to do anything. How did I become a part of the club press conferences? It was a while ago now, so I think that I started doing them back in, pretty sure it would have been 2020, back when COVID hit, and previously in 2019 and prior to the COVID restrictions, there was no such thing as in press conferences. It was all in person, so I could never do it. And when that started, I'm sure I had someone send me the form to be a part of it, and it was just a case of signing up, speaking to the comms manager, Sam Legg, and he got me set up with it. And anytime that there's a press conference or anything happening, I'll get communication through, which leads to news articles going out as well, so get all the news alerts coming through. And yeah, got to be invited to the press conference as well. So I was in all the preseason press conferences this year. It was great. I spoke to Troy a few times. That was a fantastic experience. Last year, I actually got to speak to Wayne Rooney a couple of times, which you may have seen throughout last year's podcast as well. So it's great to be able to be a part of it and actually get to do it. So anyone who's an aspiring journalist or a podcaster, get in touch with the club and get on it. I think it's great. And it's great for the club as well, because they get better press conferences because they get more questions in, and it's just great. Everyone wins in this situation. So yeah, I hope that answers your question. If you want more info, just hit me up in the DMs, and I will help out wherever I can. Richard Wilson, as I've just mentioned about him, he's given me a few questions to go through. So some interesting questions as well. So he's asked, what will be the primary defensive shape for DC United this season? And to me, I think the primary defensive shape is, it's most likely going to be five at the back. So what will happen is, when we're needing to sit back a bit, we'll bring players back. Whether that be, we start with four at the back and someone slips in, and whoever's kind of right back then goes to right wing back kind of situation. That could be Aaron Herrera who does that. Like I said, it's going to be fluid. There's going to be opportunities for everyone. It could be four at the back, and it could be Russell Knauss who pulls back into central defence and everyone just spreads out a little bit. Genuinely, I just do not know what's going to happen. The annoying thing, again, with off-season stuff and the preseason games, they're not streamed anywhere unless you're into Miami, in which case your full tour was broadcast because it's into Miami and Lionel Messi. But no other club got the same treatment. It would have been nice if every club had the opportunity to have their games on MLS, on Apple TV, and for fans to be able to tune in and actually catch up, because the money's there. We can't say the money's not there to be able to implement this kind of thing. It's there. It could have been done. And I'm really, really annoyed at the fact that we couldn't watch it. So, you know. It will be interesting to see what happens. Richard also asked, who do I think will wear the captain's armband this Saturday? So, as we heard earlier on in the episode, Steve Birnbaum will be captain, but he's out injured. And next in line is Christian Benteke, so he will be captaining this weekend. And if for some reason he's out injured, it will then be Russell Knauss. Last resort is Pedro Santos. But the fact that he's a third vice captain means he's probably going to be one of the regular players, which I'm not so keen on, because that means Mahana Jeze is then out, not a regular. Martin Rodriguez needs to be a regular because he's a great little player after the brief instances we've seen of him. Yeah. I hope Tate eventually moves into vice-captaincy and then eventually captaincy. There's that. Who was the team's most important player acquisition this off-season? It's a good question. And I think it's going to be Parani. I think that is one of the biggest player acquisitions we could have done. We saw the potential last year when he was brought in on loan after Lewis O'Brien left. And for me, that's going to be the big thing. Seeing him regular minutes and becoming one of our key players for 2024. So for me, that's going to be the big one. Otherwise, I think, who am I going to go with? Ooh, it's a good question. It's a very, very good question. Who do I go with as the second if it's not Parani? If it's not Parani, it's probably going to be Peltola. Because he's a young DP, he opens up a couple of extra under-22 initiative slots that we can utilise towards the middle of the season. I think that could be it. It's one of those two. The younger players, it's great to see, like I said, getting the youngsters in. I'm here for it. It just means that there's a plan in place to have this team evolve and develop over the coming years. So, yeah, very, very happy about that. What is Ted Kuduppietro's best position? Sitting just behind Benteke. Driving at the defence. You look at when he was playing great last season, when you look at the Toronto goal, you look at, to be fair, any of the goals he scored and any of the key plays he was part of, it's because he was central and he was driving at the defence. Defenders really don't like players running at them. It scares the living out of them. That's what I'm here for. That's the kind of thing that we want. And if we end up going sort of 4-2-3-1-ish, then for me, Ted, just behind Benteke, is the best place for him. And I think we'll see a few goals come out of him, and Benteke for that matter, in that side of things. So that's the end of Richard's question. So hopefully I answered them all for you and you're happy with those answers. And if you're not, tough. Sorry. David, who's also a DC UK member, going back to the supporter group's sign pledge to refuse drums, flags and other signs of support for four home games in protest of DCU's decision to cozy up with Saudi Arabia. Do I agree with it? I think I mentioned earlier on in the episode, yes, I do. I think it's the right thing to be doing to show a sign of protest that we're not happy with it. As I mentioned before, I think there's that disconnect between ownership and fans, and that was evident with the meeting last night. So protest, I think, is the next way forward. And I hope a lot more people than just the support groups get involved in that side of things. So, yeah. Seven Victor G, long time listener, long time question asker, has asked, how do I hype myself up for a season that feels low on things to be excited about? We're not low on things to be excited for. We've got lots to be excited about for this season. We've got some great young players coming through in our academy. Fletcher, Hopkins, Cudipietro. We've got young players who we've brought in. Morel, Parani, Peltola, Tubbs. Then we've got some experience depth. Stroud, Bartlett. It's just, we're bringing some extra players in, and I'm liking what I'm seeing, and I'm liking the path that we're going down. Ali Mackay and Troy Lassain, they've got a vision, and I like the vision, and I like what I'm hearing. But this is all well and good if we don't see things change on the pitch. You might have seen, I did an interview with the Designated Players podcast, and my one big question was, will we actually see any change? Will all these changes lead to anything? And that's the big question for 2024, is all these changes, will we see anything tangible come out of this? And I hope we flipping do, because that's the big thing. That's what we need to see. I think that's what we've been craving for as fans. We've had the promise of changes so much, but we actually now just need to start seeing some tangible stuff happening now. I think we started seeing it with Hernan, if I'm honest. We started seeing a philosophy coming in. We had massive changes there, but there was stuff behind the scenes that obviously didn't sit right, and that's why things happened the way they did. But, you know, it's 2024. We've got Troy, who seems to have his head switched on. And when you speak to any fans from any of his previous clubs, they've got nothing but good things to say. And that is special. And that's a nice thing to hear. So I'm excited. I'm excited for 2024. I think there's plenty to be excited for. I think we could be the dark horse of the league this year. You look at FC Cincinnati. Look at what they've been through. They've been through some really dark times. And you look what they did last year. They won the Supporters Shield. So, I'm not saying we're going to win the Supporters Shield by any stretch of the imagination, but I think we're going to surprise a lot of people in 2024. I think this is the year that we can start looking back with a little bit of pride again. And we're going to be happy. So, yeah. I'm keeping my fingers crossed for 2024. And then, newest podcaster to the scene, It's in the Net DC. Who do I think is going to be the starting lineup? I wish I could give you some names. I could give you a rough idea. I could probably tell you who I want in my lineup, which would be, let me just go back to our roster. So in goal, it would be Alex Bonner for me, any day of the week. My back four, because, you know, 4-4-2, would be Herrera. Who else is going to be in there? Probably Bartlett. and McVay, and then left back of Jayze. Then midfield, it would be on the right side. It would probably be Stroud on the right, Knauss and Click in the middle, and then either Parani or Rodriguez on the left, and then up top, Ted and Benteke. That's what my lineup, ideal kind of lineup, would look like. I think we've got a lot of midfielders there, who are sort of decent level, but I don't think the forwards is where we're lacking. Recognised, and I'm using commas on the speech commas on this one. Dahomey, Benteke, Fletcher, and Morel are our recognised strikers, apparently, our forwards. It's a bit light, shall we say. I think we could do with a bit more depth in the forward line. So if you think about it, if Benteke is injured, who we got? Who's really recognised? I think Morel could do a good job this year, but to rely then on Dahomey, Fletcher, I don't think that's fair on any of them to be saying that we're going to rely on you guys to get the goals. So, you know, yeah. But that's it. That's the questions all asked and answered. I hope you enjoy. Oh, I need to do a prediction, don't I, for the game this weekend? Who knows? Who the feck knows? So let's go 2-0. DC, let's do it. We'll see what happens. But that's it for today's show. Guest DC who will return at some point. Team Tactics will return at some point as well. And yeah, we'll see you most likely this time next week. Until next time, Vamos United.